Story is told in the words of Kay Dennis. She is the director of municipal development for Marianna. She'll be with us throughout the second hour. In the first hour, I've got Pastor Darius Washington talking about faith in the face of adversity. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Again, on this opportunity, we have a great lineup of conversation with people like Kay Dennis, Darius Washington. And it seems appropriate. It's hard to believe 2 years have passed, Hurricane Michael, and its impact on our economy, on the lives of thousands of people through the Panhandle and all the way up into Georgia and Alabama. Incredible, absolutely incredible. Some good news came earlier this last week by way of federal funds, FEMA, and the state of Florida. Governor DeSantis was in Blountstown recently, and he announced $10 million in funding to continue the repairs on the community hospital over there, which was badly damaged. I mean, just you talk about insult upon injury. The infrastructure, the emergency services, any of those resources you and I would look for and look to in the face of such devastation themselves were just not available. You couldn't even travel the roads if you had a car. And if you had a car, if you could get gas. Because, yeah, no power, no pumps, no gas. No joke. People standing around in vacant lots like zombies trying to figure out what to do next, trying to figure out what had just happened. You know, and if you've driven through the region, you still see a lot of blue tarps around there, Panama City and other places. There have been signs of recovery, thankfully. First Lady Casey DeSantis announced an additional $5.2 million in grants to benefit children, partly to help them recover from the emotional upheaval in those frightening days that transpired thereafter and for months afterwards. And it's in the face of all of that history and in that context that they're dealing with, yes, COVID-19 and this pandemic. I mean, we're struggling, all of us, I think, to get ourselves accustomed to having to wear masks and, you know, distance, do all the things that we know to do, get tested. And, you know, here you have a community like Marianna or Mexico Beach. I mean, throughout the various counties involved, that don't even have those basic resources they need to deal with something that rudimentary, I suppose. To date, about $830 million in state and federal funding has gone to the Panhandle area. Recall that it's been 2 years, October 10th, 2018. The immediate loss of life was estimated to be somewhere between 30 and 40. Those who were on the ground over there at the time talking to me, saying, that's a very low estimate. We haven't been able to nail down too many facts in this regard, but the truth of the matter is there were a lot of people that just were caught off guard or decided they were going to try to stick it out, and Michael wasn't having any of that. And those people just got swept out to sea, and nobody knows. I mean, so after a while, you have to decide that, I guess, those people are gone. But they never found the body or bodies. They just knew that there were people missing. And for its part, Michael was among the strongest hurricanes ever to make landfall in the United States, with winds packing in there at 160 miles per hour when it hit the Florida coastline. Moved all the way up into Georgia. By the time that happened, they were still topping out, I think, at about 115 miles an hour. Unbelievable. Remember Nancy Dignan saying, you know, the Gulf is like one big bathtub, and it doesn't have anything to stop that water from rushing in. It's, there's no shelf as such. You know, it's just kind of this tapered basin. And so as the winds picked up, you know, 20, 25 miles off the coastline, yeah, so that water just continued to push inward. Well, in any case, they've continued this work. Last year, the First Lady helped place mental health kiosks in 63 public schools across the six counties, trying to reach out to what is estimated about 35,000 kids and their families. And they have added a mental health coordinator as a component to this disaster recovery effort in all of those locations. So in addition to expanding mental health services, the new funding will be used to build playgrounds and rebuild preschools that are still awaiting help. Remarkable. Mike Watkins is the chief executive officer for Big Bend Community-Based Care, and it helps children and families faced with all of the mental and emotional stress. He said the devastation was not only that of toppled homes and trees, but it totally upended the lives of so many people. And many, of course, have lost their, not only their homes, their livelihood. I remember meeting one woman whose family had owned this particular farm in the Mariana area, just north of Mariana, and had been in the family for generations, something like 600, 700, 800 acres. And their primary crop was pecan trees. Well, all the pecan trees were gone, I mean, toppled. So you could easily determined with a glance, these people are completely out of business. Not only do they not have a place to live, they don't have a place to make a living any longer. So when I met her, she was telling me the story, and they hadn't yet decided exactly what to do, where to go, but they knew they couldn't stay where they were. And her best guess was that they were going to move up north and live with some of her family, extended family, for a period of time until they could figure out what to do. When all of that is happening, you've got people like Kay Dennis. I mean, you talk about somebody who hung in there and is still there. The Municipal Development Director for Mariana wrote a book, and we'll talk a little bit about that. The book is out, and all the proceeds from that book go to help the efforts of Mariana. So, a noble effort in its own right. I've had a chance to read that book, and it is a stunning, frankly, a stunning anthology of these personal stories from her point of view as she went around and talking with all of the people that she came in contact with in Marianna and in the greater Marianna area around the region. We're going to take that opportunity then today that we have her with us to recollect. What does it mean to endure such hardship in the face of something that is so unpredictable? And I'll bring Darius Washington. Pastor Washington will be with us then in this first hour to talk about the challenges to our faith and how we can survive and recover and restore in the face of such adversity. Stay with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to this portion of your favorite radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Always interested in knowing what you have to say. So don't forget to email us, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Great way to share a thought or a suggested topic or a guest you'd like us to invite. It's our pleasure to bring you this show with that in mind, that we are helping Tallahassee tell its story. You know, one of the coolest parts of this endeavor for us is just to meet these very cool people who are doing very cool things. Like the man you're about to hear from, Darius Washington, who a young man, pastor, musician, composer, doing his part, trying to bring a bit of encouragement and hope and direction, and appropriate even now when we think of the kind of adversities that we have all endured this year, and we're into October, and I think it's fair to say that that isn't all just going to disappear. It's not quite like the way storms come into our lives, like hurricanes. It's a bit more lingering than that. And I think the underlying concern, the underlying anxiety, the fear that a pandemic brings, or any kind of health threat over time, begins to show its signs in the form of despair and depression and anxiety. Suicide rates are indicating an increase, and I mean across the country. The loss of businesses through the efforts to control this thing, and now, you know, the World Health Organization saying, well, you know, the shutdowns may not have been as effective as we hoped they would have been. So that doesn't help the public relations effort there very much, because people in great number have objected to the idea of shutting their doors from the beginning. So there's been a lot of mix on that topic alone. It's what we all know that we don't know. And we just don't have the history to be able to judge where this thing goes, how it develops. Some of the indication is that it doesn't morph, it doesn't mutate the way viruses would. I mean, that's almost good news, I guess, if in fact that's true. And that's the hardest part of this, isn't it? I mean, there's more anxiety related to point-counterpoint sort of discussions. You know, is this true? This particular factoid, has this been confirmed? I mean, you know, that's the whole nature of a novel virus. We don't have the track record. We don't have the protocol. So we've had to scramble. And it's remarkable. I think it took something like 19 years to develop a vaccine for polio. And there were people that died. There was a series of panel tests of the polio vaccines, various versions of it. People died. So that was better than 50 years ago. And nonetheless, you know, we face the thought that, you know, people who may be part of these initial testings themselves are at risk. But remarkable to be able to even talk about the possibility of us having in hand vaccines that provide us some hope for that remedy. I mean, we can credit the scientific community at large and pharmaceutical research labs and such around the world that have been part of that, continue to be involved in that effort. So if there is any hope in the science of virology, it is that these folks certainly have a greater grasp of the truth, the empirical evidence, than those who came before us, you know, a couple of generations ago. Trying to be positive here, folks. I'm looking for anything I can find. That's why we wanted to have Darius Washington come back and talk to us about the role of faith in facing such adversities. For our part, we're a bit more pragmatic, I suppose, in that we want you to stay prepared for severe weather. I mean, if it comes down to it, a hurricane the magnitude of even some of the recent storms that have come through Louisiana, hard to know exactly how to best prepare, but some fundamental issues remain. Number one, you got to think through, what's your plan? What are you going to do if and when this happens? And it's less the if and more the when, right? Because we're living in Tallahassee, where severe weather is just kind of how it rolls for us. You know, we're the lightning capital of the Southeast. The lightning strikes around here constant. And of late, we've not had as many, but thunderstorms, and that's kind of how it goes. So what's your plan? If the lights do go out, if you don't have a backup generator, if you don't have any batteries, if you don't have lantern oil, if you don't have neighbors that you're connected to, if you don't have some way of being able to transport people, you know, what if you're going to be out of your house for, I don't know, a few weeks? Where do you go? You know, like this woman I told you about, lost her 800-acre farm and trying to figure out, okay, well, where do we go now? And can you imagine that this woman ever considered that prospect? I can't. No. I mean, no. And yet here it was, handed to her. You got to think through this. So Tallahassee Prepared is about helping you and I think through all that we might endure. Is often said by those in positions of preparedness, whether it's county or the fire department, Red Cross, they're always telling us, expect the unexpected. So talk about the things that you say, it's not going to happen. Yeah, okay, well, you say so, but if it did happen, how would you handle that? Which neighbor, which family member would you call on? What resources are available to you? Well, you can find a lot of that when you go to the website, TallahasseePrepared.com. We're there to help you.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557. More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Darius Washington is a Florida-based music artist, producer, entrepreneur, one of the industry's best-kept secrets. In fact, his writing is penetrating, his musicianship is multidimensional, and his business acumen is undeniable. And he is our guest this morning. How are you, Mr. Washington?
I am doing great, man. How about yourself?
Nice to see you. Yeah, it's been a while. We're trying to get you into the studio. Highly acclaimed you are.
Absolutely, man.
But in high demand as well, so it's not easy to, you know, catch you on the run when you've got so much going on. I want to tell folks, too, that your career began about 9 years ago, back in 2010, as a composer and a Christian artist. Stylistically, you created a sound inspired by a fusion of CCM gospel and acoustic soul. Tell us what that means.
Yeah. So I've always been an acoustic artist, right? I started off on the piano, but then I kind of bridged into playing the acoustic guitar. And I always loved gospel music, of course. I grew up in a very traditional church. But then I started to listen to a lot of contemporary Christian music, and I loved that. So I wanted to kind of create a fusion of the three.
I got you.
A lot of my music, sometimes you'll hear organ in it, or sometimes you'll just hear an orchestra. You know what I mean? Or sometimes it could be very soulful within a guitar. So, yeah.
But in any case, your music is focused on a faith message, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely rooted and grounded in the message of faith. Not just Christian, but definitely faith.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep. Yeah. Now, my understanding is you, having grown up in Clearwater, did some work in Atlanta for a while, and now you're relocating, and you're going to be one of us, Tallahasseans.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, welcome aboard.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We love it here so far. It's been very quiet and tranquil.
Yeah, well, we'll see if we can fix that.
You know what I mean? Coming from Atlanta, and even Tampa's a pretty big city.
Indeed.
It's very active, very fast. Mm-hmm. And when we moved here, we came with the intent, of course, to open the church and plant a ministry here.
I got you. Yeah, let's talk about that. This fellowship you're calling Faith Life Church, a multicultural church with a passion to reach and pursue purpose for all people, all walks of life, through the hope and love of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's a mouthful, man.
Absolutely.
Now, the multicultural aspects of that are intriguing for me because I've been here 40 years, right?
Right.
And to have seen in the last two decades an infusion of ethnic and cultural diversity as much as we have thus far is really a remarkable thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the way I measure that, by the way, is to look at the number of festivals now that we have that we didn't, you know, like, you know, 20, 25 years ago or better. You had one festival.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And it was pretty much the same people every year marching down the street in funny costumes and stuff.
Right.
And that was it. And and it was more a celebration of our past than it was anything else.
Sure, yeah.
Now, we got everything from gay pride to the seafood festival and Word of South.
Absolutely.
And here you come wanting to be a part of that multicultural approach. What does that look like for you as a church? How does that translate into real behavior?
For us, and that's such a great question, man, by the way, it's the one that I love to answer. It's very simple. I always tell people that multiculturalism for me is just identifying people as people. And nothing more, nothing less. Instead of saying, oh, this is a black church, or this is a Caucasian church, or this is a Hispanic ministry, or this is a Haitian ministry. This is just a ministry where we love on God and we love people, period. No matter your orientation, your creed, whatever the case may be, we all desire to emulate the image of Christ.
What does that look like? I mean, because one might easily think about how many churches we have already.
Sure.
Why do we really need another church?
One? Yeah.
I mean, how do you answer
Absolutely.
That?
Yeah, I just had this question. And you know, I said, if every church here in Tallahassee, or anywhere for that matter, was completely full, jam-packed, oozing out of the front door with a line down the street, we would still need another church. Because I just feel that you're talking about over 7 billion people in the world that need a message of hope and that need a message of love. As long as the suicide rate is going up, we need churches. As long as the divorce rate is going up, we need churches. As long as the crime rate here in Tallahassee is as ridiculous as it is, we need more churches. More voices.
I used to know these numbers, but out of touch now. But I had done the math to your point that if you took the number of churches in Tallahassee, and I want to say I think I came up with about 200, maybe 300.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
So if the average church building, let's say, will hold 500, right? Mm-hmm. So you do the math, 500 times maybe 200,
right?
So that was only then a third of the population.
Absolutely, yep.
We're talking about 500,000 people, half a million people in the metro area.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So your point is well taken that not only do we not see people lined up at the door, we see a lot of empty buildings. If you don't know this, just hang out on a Sunday morning, drive around town, look at all the people that are shopping at the grocery store, the hardware store. You know, they're out there mowing their lawns,
hanging tight.
And you know, that for me, that raises a big question. What are we missing with people? What are we not doing?
I think that church has become a thing that we, a lot of pastors and a lot of organizations have been afraid to integrate into people's lifestyle. And what I mean by that is there's been a lot of inreach when it comes to church and not as much outreach. And I know inreach is not really a word, but from a concept perspective, churches are like, here we are, come visit us on Sunday, versus Jesus was at the well. Jesus was at the shore. Jesus was on the lawn. You know what I mean? It's like you have to break beyond the barrier of the four walls and submerge yourself into people's lifestyle. You know, we have to find out where church and fishing can correlate. We have to find out where church and Zumba can correlate. Where can basketball and football intertwine with church? And so many years, people have disconnected lifestyle from church as if it's like if you're like doing everyday stuff, you're you're in sin, or you know what I mean, or you're doing something you're of the world, you know, you should be submerged in God and you should be at the temple praying and you should, you know, but that's not realistic.
Interesting,
you know what I mean?
That you bring up that thought, because this is a conversation I have frequently with pastors and with church leaders, the whole concept of sin.
Right.
What is sin? So since you have that figured out, we're going to take a quick break and then you can enlighten
we'll
us when
in,
we
yeah,
get
man.
Back.
Absolutely.
Folks, we're talking with Darius Washington, newly arrived to Tallahassee, setting up a shop here with Faith Life Church, going to continue his music and continue to supply his listeners with a faithful faith-filled message. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
We'll be right My back. Dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557. Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widden Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widden Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widden's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widden is known for taking care of business. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Darius Washington. He is a remarkable individual, multi-talented. You've actually seen and heard him on television networks like BET and the Word Network Live and multiple radio media outlets internationally. He opened four gospel mega stars: Shirley Caesar, Dwayne Woods, Marvin Sapp, Tasha Cobbs, a whole bunch of folks. And then to add to his growth as a musician, he has a new production banner, Cornerstone Media. Wow, tell us about Cornerstone Media.
Yeah.
What is that?
Cornerstone, actually, it came from a motivation, a vision that I had, that I wanted to create faith-based content beyond music.
Huh.
So I figured, you know, how could we get into television production, film production? These are things that were all passions of mine that I had some working knowledge of just being around in the industry.
Right.
And built some relationships with a lot of great directors and producers. So I said, hey, let's create an avenue to be able to create content under. So now whenever I do music or film or television production or anything in that wheelhouse, it's under the Cornerstone band. But we do have a responsibility to multiply what we have. So sometimes I ask God, like, why did you give me so much vision? And you know what I mean? Why did you like bless me with so many talents? Because now I have an obligation to pursue. And that's kind of where I land at with all of that. It's just always pray for the timing of God of when to pursue, but always acknowledge the responsibility that a pursuit must take place.
I mean, that I can certainly confirm, and I would echo so many of the projects that I have personally engaged in or have done so as part of a group.
Right.
Man, God's timing is without replacement. You cannot.
Yep.
I mean, you can, but you do so at your own peril.
Right.
But that comes back to this business then of what it means to commit sin, right?
Right.
What I found interesting, see if you confirm this,
sure.
But I found people talking about sin as if it was the breaking of the commandments, or, you took a drink, or you smoked cigarettes, or you cheated on her, he cheated on you. I mean, you lied, you stole. These are the sins that we're talking about that I've got to repent of, or repent from, get forgiveness.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm going to do it again tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
And so I better just try to keep my slate clean here as long as, as much. And man, you talk about a burden.
Right.
And then I hear that verse that says, come unto me, those of you who are heavily burdened.
Right.
Well, I can't think of a more tasked-oriented life, burdensome life, than somebody who has all of this, quote, sin going on.
Right.
But then I had a guy look at me and say, see, that's not the sin he's talking about. He's talking about self-reliance.
Right.
He's talking about you deciding what is right and wrong.
Absolutely.
And you deciding that you're going to be your own
God.
Your own God. Your own righteousness.
Absolutely.
Your own measure of.
Yep.
And the gospel is not that. The gospel is, I am, and you're not.
Right.
But I will give you who I am.
Sure.
And so when you talk about talents,
right,
man, look at what I've done. Well, yeah, but maybe you stepped out of God's timing.
This is true.
Because you're the guy
who
was calling all those shots.
Right.
Once again, relying on
self.
Whereas that surrendered life is about yielding to his timing.
Yep.
You agree with that?
Absolutely. Oh. I, you know, with regards to sin, I definitely agree with those different things. You know, this person's doing this, or you broke a commandment, or whatever the case may be. Mm. In the Bible, it talks about how the law was nailed to the cross. Mm. And when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, but I'll say it in two parts. It was nailed to the cross, but he also said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So, and what that means is he came as grace to bridge the gap between our efforts of righteousness and our execution of righteousness. So where we want to do right and can't is where Jesus Christ bridges the gap. You know what I mean? Because the truth is like you said,
he is our righteousness. Yeah.
You can't escape sin, right? Like even if you master one of them, you know, it's you're going to have something else like on the back end that you just can't you can't. So it was like he had to come.
You know the vision that this guy gave me, I'm telling you about this individual who was trying to help me. This is, you know, 30 years ago, but
right.
It changed my life because I grew up in the church. I was baptized when I was an infant. I accepted Christ when I was 12. I committed my life to serving God when I was 16.
Wow. Yeah.
I went through high school, college, graduate school, got married, had four kids, now here. All of that has happened in a flash.
Right.
But in the course of all that, about midstream, I'd say, That idea was presented to me. It's not up to you to try to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
And I kept looking around, and the most miserable people I knew were the people who were trying to be like Jesus and doing whatever that meant.
Yep.
You know, twice on Sunday, every Wednesday night, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever their thing was, they're just miserable people.
Right.
And I was one of them.
Wow.
And he said, it's like this. This guy said, Jesus is standing at the other end of the swimming pool, and you're waist deep and facing away from him. And every time a little ping pong ball comes floating by, you're going to take control of that, right? And pretty soon, there are more ping pong balls than you can handle.
Right.
You turn around, Jesus is standing next to a truckload,
a
dump truck load full of ping pong balls.
Right.
And he just keeps
throwing them
into the water, watching to see what you're going to do. There's that notion that God brings us to a place where he says, I love you too much to let you believe that it's all up to you to make it work.
Right.
It's not.
Absolutely.
And to do that then
is
self-reliance equals sin.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're not 64 years old.
No,
I look at you in your young life, and here you are setting out. You've got all this music career behind you, starting this fellowship. Mm-hmm. You're going to be meeting over at
Tallahassee Community College,
right? Yep. Using facilities there.
Yep.
That's a good idea. Much success to you, my friend. Let's make sure we have you back.
Absolutely.
Let us know what else we can do to help you.
I'm definitely excited. Glad to be here, man. Glad to be a part.
Glad to have you on board and glad to have you here in Tallahassee.
I know, that's right, man. All right. Maybe I can find some good seafood here.
I hear there is some. Okay. Absolutely. We'll turn you on to that.
Good deal.
Darius Washington is the man's name. Our guest this morning talking about all things related to this life in Christ that he is determined to deliver in his music, in all of his songs, and all the work that he's doing, including Faith Life Church that they're setting up over there on the west side of town. We look forward to having him back.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thanks for being our guest. Pastor Darius Washington, everybody. We've got more coming up. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Taking a look back at Hurricane Michael now on the two-year anniversary of this travesty, this amazingly powerful, destructive storm that rewrote the lives of easily hundreds of thousands of people across the region, and Tallahassee not unscathed in its own way. But in any case, there's no doubt about the fact that we consider individual lives. It isn't just the mass numbers, right? You get down to the nitty-gritty. Get into the lives of the people who were directly affected. And I've got some very helpful contributions from Alex Workman and his wife. They went about the business of gathering recordings for us from people in Mexico Beach particularly. And as they had these conversations, it gave us opportunity to hear their story at that ground level, at that personal level, where people were individually affected, not just by the storm itself, but the people who they were connected to were affected. And think about that. In some respects, it reminds me of what we are now dealing with. You personally may not have had to deal with the ravages of COVID-19, but you have a friend or a family member who has either suffered through it or tragically has been lost. So it's the direct impact, and then it's the extended impact of any of these sorts of travesties that come across our path. And the recollection remains. You know, the memory is there. The real question is whether we are able to remember it in a different fashion. How does that happen? So what I'm pointing to is a difference here. I'm saying that recalling something and remembering something are two different processes. So there's a remembering that is us making those adjustments. And when you hear about monies being brought to bear to help these kids and families recover emotionally and psychologically. You know, that process is about remembering it in a new way, not just recalling, but remembering it in a manner that points to the future. And where is that taking us? The hope that we will be better, that we will still be able to live out our lives, perhaps not able to do what we had intended to do, not trying to recover something that's lost, but having the hope and the strength and the encouragement of others to build further, to build out, to go from this point and say, I'm not done yet. I have a way of remembering those events in a fashion that encourages me to keep trying, keep hoping, keep believing. That is why it is so important that we do that for one another. And so your word of encouragement, your contribution in whatever fashion can bring a tremendous aid in that effort. Well, we're going to take time as well to hear from Eric Durance, his contribution in the form of this remarkable song that he titled Heart of the Storm. So let's take some time and we'll listen to the Workman's talk with some of these folks, and then we'll hear the music of Eric Durance. So Nate Odom, business owner in Mexico Beach.
That's been amazing. I mean, really, from day one. I tell a lot of people, you know, I mean, not the National Guard and Red Cross and everyone else, but I mean, just how everyone came in. I mean, a lot of the denominational congregations, the churches throughout the area, everyone taking care of each other. What you and Chelsea have done, and your crew and your group of people. I mean, it's just been it's been humbling. It's been, you know, talking about the heart, and you know, that's probably not something a lot of times that I would do, or our other friend we were just talking to would do. But it's like I said, it's, you know, the Lord has a way of humbling you, and certainly that happened to a lot of us back in October. But it's also really refreshing to see just how we all take care of each other, and then how people like yourself want to come in and try to step up and just do something. A lot of people, they want to help, but they don't have a direction. They don't know. They don't have a vehicle. They don't know exactly how to go about doing it, but you all did. And then like speaking about the mural that's going to be there for years to come, and how it's already being enjoyed. And it's a symbol of, hey, you know, we're still here. We got this. It's, you know, like, we're not going anywhere.
So there you have it, a perspective that is a bit more encouraging. And this is a guy who expresses his own humility, the humility of having to realize, hey, man, I cannot get this done by myself. Well, you know, that's kind of how it works around here. We realize that there's so much that needs to be done, that all of us need to do, to be a part of making this thing work. And in that capacity, we've got a new song from Eric Durance. It's called Heart of the Storm. So let's take a listen to that. It's a great song. You're going to enjoy it. We'll be back after the break.
Do now when the rain comes down, when the lights go out, and all around our pieces of the life you had, when all that's left now is all you have, what do we do now? Yeah, what do we do now? We come together, we fall apart, and through it all somehow, we find a new place to start. And in that moment, we realize love's gonna make us stronger than before. In the heart of the storm, in the heart of the storm,
time's running out, when desperation is the only sound, when so much is taken, when so much is lost, when the price is too high to count the cost, what do we do now? Yeah, what do we do now? We come together, we fall apart, and through it all somehow we find a new place to start. And in that moment we realize love's gonna make us stronger than before in the heart of the storm.
Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Hard to believe, but it has now been a year. A year of waiting, a year of recovery, a year of bewilderment, healing, and a year of frustration for a lot of people who have been affected by the challenges that continue to plague the victims of Hurricane Michael. Are being told over and over again in various ways and in various settings. Today we have with us Kay Dennis. Now, Kay is the Municipal Development Director for the City of Marianna. Smack dab in the path of this unprecedented hurricane. She is a member of the American Institute for Certified Planners. She's got her bachelor's in arts degree in political science, international affairs, and a master's in business administration and public administration, and then an advanced diploma in theology. The woman is accomplished academically and a bachelor of arts degree in theology. She's now in the process of finishing her third master's degree and working towards her doctorate. 22 years of grant writing and city planning and experience, and 17 years of management experience. She says of herself, "In the position that I occupy at the City of Marianna, I have been submitting newspaper articles to the Jackson County Times, Jackson County Floridian, for about a year and a half, highlighting businesses in Marianna." She is married to Britt Dennis for 32 years, they are, and going strong. Two kids, two grandkids. She is a member of the Optimist Club of Jackson County, and I want to tell you, just at first blush, this woman is an optimist. Let's welcome Kay Dennis to the show. Hey, Kay.
Hey. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to have you with us. And you have this book entitled Surviving Hurricane Michael, A Community's Story of Devastation. Tell us about that.
I'm in the process of finishing up the book and right after the storm, Hayes Baggett, the chief of police, asked me to write a book, and I didn't get around to it till probably July because our permits in the office were increased by about 500%.
No kidding.
And when I started writing it, I realized I have these stories from the businesses, and I have my own story, but there were so many others that needed to be included.
Yeah.
Like the people out working in the field, the first responders.
No kidding.
And
the linesmen and the social workers and all of these people, yeah?
Right. And so at this point, I've interviewed over 100 people and listened to the brave stories of men and women. Mm. And you know, it's hard for them to tell their stories. And we have a story in Marianna, and it's important to be heard.
You know, what's remarkable to me, Kay, is the connectivity. That is to say, how we really are all connected to these outcomes. Even the families of those service personnel whose parent is heading off to deal with another issue. And there has already been a loss of life there. We've lost a few along the way, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And Brian, a lot of these people worked tirelessly for days on end without even checking their own homes. And we just can't say enough about them.
Well, and we've done this. We created this Hurricane Michael Heroes tribute that we have airing on local radio stations just as a way of, at the very least, you know, to say thank you, that your efforts are not unnoticed. And this goes out to the families of those people as well, because they're all in it. They're paying the price, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Every street in Jackson County was covered with trees.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell what road you were on. We're a rural area with a small population, but people were getting lost because the road signs were down and there were no landmarks from before the storm that you where you could recognize
right.
where you were going.
Right. Yeah. From my conversations already, those who were there even the day after, things were so devastated. I remember one fella that I've known for many years, and this guy is a tough old bird. And he's on the phone with me, and he's starting to choke up as he's looking across the landscape. And I heard him say, "Oh my God, that used to be the factory where they built the flatbeds for these semi trucks. The building is gone. All that's left is the slab. Entire forests of pine trees completely leveled or snapped off, where you could see the force of the wind just came through like a scythe and just cut them off." He was absolutely beside himself.
Every person that I interviewed broke down. It's just very hard to to go through it, relive it.
Yeah.
But every time you leave your house, you see it again. A very wise person told me that in the recovery process, the ones of us who loved the natural environment of Jackson County and Marianna will be gone before the recovery is over, and the younger generation won't remember what was there. It'll probably take that long.
My goodness.
Yeah.
In fact, it's been described this way to me, that it looks like a war zone, right? It has that characteristic. Then that brings to mind this question of post-traumatic stress disorder. I would imagine we're seeing a number of those kinds of cases, right?
Well, I'm not a doctor, but every time there's a storm, everybody pays attention. And some people say that Marianna was complacent, but one of our city commissioners told me his grandmother moved to Marianna in 1821, and there hasn't been a storm like this to hit since then. So for nearly 200 years, there hasn't been anything like this.
Out of nowhere, folks, that's what happened. We can talk to our beloved Nancy Dignon, meteorologist. She'll give you the scientific explanation for the physics involved, and of course all of the related variables that had to do with surface temperature of the water and air pressure and all that kind of thing. So you get this sort of clinical description, but then when you start to see its ramifications in the lives of those who have survived this storm, it is a story that will be with us forever. I hope you'll stay with me for just another few minutes, because we're going to continue this conversation with Kay Dennis. We'll be back right after this.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are talking with Kay Dennis. She's the Municipal Development Director for the City of Marianna. When I recall from about a year ago, you couldn't have access to the caverns, and now they've been able to do that. Is that right?
Limited access.
Mm-hmm.
I call Marianna heaven on earth.
Really?
It's beautiful.
Really?
It's just so beautiful. The people are wonderful. And the storm is one thing that's brought us all closer together. And
I would
it's
imagine
a wonderful place to raise children and live.
In writing this book, you've been able to knit together the stories of these survivors. Is that an observation you've made, that people really have pulled together to help each other out?
Yes. Well, especially after the storm, everybody, it was neighbor helping neighbor. Do you need some food? Do you need some water? Let's get our chainsaws out and clear the road. And then the churches, they all joined in and helped. And we had a lot of outside help, too, that we were very appreciative of. But I think it bound us closer, and all differences, they didn't totally go away, but nobody noticed them as much.
So for you, this is exploratory. I mean, you were as much a victim as anybody. You walked through it. You survived it. But then you begin to kind of peel back the layers a little bit, and you find yourself in conversation with others. What was that like for you, where you're having to kind of relive it yourself?
When I was writing the book, I recorded the interviews, and I would have to hear some stories, or I chose to hear some stories that where people were in a house and that it fell down around them, and how frightened they were, and just or they went home after helping other people and they didn't have a house and it was their family home and they had memories there. One man, his house burnt down after the storm. There's been a lot of fires, and so he was so happy to survive the storm, and then his house burnt down. It's just heartbreaking.
And for all of these, two decades or better that you have lived in the area, right? So
I've lived there 53 years.
53 years. 53 years.
Yes, and when we hear a hurricane's coming, we have our little stash of water and canned goods, and we're ready. But honestly, I didn't think we'd even lose electricity until the day of.
Well, and that begs the question, how would anyone prepare? How would a municipality prepare for this? I don't know.
I don't think there's really a clear way, but that's one thing that I touch on in the book. And even though no one had been through it or knew what to do, We had all these brave people making the right decisions, coming together, working mm-hmm. together, and making things work.
Was there for you a sort of awakening, I guess, things that were more disturbing about the community? Were there aspects of it that were just sort of disappointing in the way that people were handling it? Were people like losing their temper and just kind of splitting up, pulling apart, or was it just the opposite?
It was just the opposite. Oh. Every single person that I talked to said, "We are just so blessed. We are so grateful." Mm. They were just so happy just to be alive, mm-hmm. even though they may have lost everything.
We've done a lot of investigation with guys like Alex Workman and his wife. They've been over there in Mexico Beach chronicling a lot of their work and interviewing folks. But the recovery efforts are slow and painful.
Well, when FEMA visited last week, they said we've come a long way. And I have to say we have come a long way. But, yes, it's slow. And you have to drive by it every day. Mm-hmm. And so even if you go home, you're in your house and everything's okay. Mm-hmm. When you go out the door, you see it. Every single day when you go home, you see it. And it's very hard for people.
You mentioned the obliteration of all of the landmarks and the street signs and all that sort of thing. So there was this, I guess, a destruction of all of those familiar points of reference, right? So you'd have right. some sense of where you are. One friend of ours was over there the day after, and she called me, and she's crying, and she said, "People are standing in vacant lots in groups of 20 and more. They don't know where to go. They're just standing there. They're like zombies. They're in shock. And there's no orientation." So a lot of them then had to find their way to a local church. And I think there were three churches, maybe more at that time, that were sort of the staging area for people who were looking for shelter, right? But because their car is gone, the gas stations are gone, they had to walk. And some right. of those walks were 20 miles.
Right, under yeah. power lines and down trees. And had one lady, a single mother, who was afraid she's going to lose her children because of her home was devastated and her car was gone.
Mm. You know, one of the conversations that we had early on was the death toll. And it was, in this woman's estimation, understated. They were estimating somewhere in the 20s or 30s, 20, maybe 30 people. And she said, "No, that's not going to be accurate." Though a lot of people waited and thought they could see this thing through. But when that wall of water arrived, it just took them away. And I think that there are a number of folks that were stunned to realize that they couldn't overcome the force of this event. Yet those who have survived have found within themselves a resource and in one another. You mentioned FEMA. There was a bit of delay there too in the funding, which had to be additional insult upon injury, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah. A lot of things have to be funded up front for a small town. That's difficult.
Yeah. And I guess the question was whether or not the federal agency was going to be able to release those funds. So this one woman said, "Well, we're just waiting on Congress to sign the check." And that took a number of months, I think, right. before that all began to come. At this point in the recovery, I mean, have you got a sense of where you are? You've already said, and it's been observed, it'll be decades before the area recovers. But in terms of day-to-day and getting some of these folks back online, would you say you're halfway there or less or more?
Maybe halfway. We still have people living in terrible conditions. Mm-hmm. We still have blue tarps everywhere. I talked to a contractor yesterday, and he's booked out to 2021, Some of our contractors left and went down to the coast because they could get more money there. But a lot of our good contractors stayed. What I would tell people is, if there's a storm coming, don't stay, because if anything happens to you, people can't get to you to help you.
Right, right.
And I heard so many stories about people being injured or in the hospital bed and the roof's falling on them. Mm-hmm. And the workers, they cried about it too. They wished they could come and help, but they couldn't get through the roads. Mm-hmm. And that's why evacuation is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember folks that were driving I-10 and looking for that exit and finding out you can't get off at that exit. You got to keep going.
Right.
Because the exit was blocked.
Right.
Yeah. 53 years you've been in this community. How has your role changed in that, now that you, I mean, you've made your living as this municipal planner, right?
Right.
And you're writing this book. What does your daytimer look like?
Oh.
How do you spend your time now?
Not much free time right now.
I was going to say. Yeah, talk about planning. You're planning out through the next 10, 15 years. Maybe you're just trying to plan for the next day, huh?
Yes.
Day by day. Well, her name is Kay Dennis. She's our guest this morning, Municipal Development Director over there in the city of Marianna, talking about post-Hurricane Michael recovery. You stay with me. We've got more Tallahassee Talks.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for over 70 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The book is entitled Surviving Hurricane Michael, A Community's Story of Devastation, Survival, and Recovery. It's going to be coming out here in the next few weeks. The book documents history through the stories of survivors and highlights the human side of what took place during and after Hurricane Michael coming through the Marianna community. How has it been, or how have those communities around Marianna behaved? I'm particularly interested in the Tallahassee community proper. We'll call it Tallahassee-Leon County, because there have been efforts made to keep the topic fresh. There are groups of business people and political leaders, right? Civic leaders and such, that have organized to try to keep the conversation alive. But has that made any real impact in outcome? I mean, are you seeing trucks coming in every day with loads of whatever you need, or how is that working?
Not anymore. We're not. We have a recovery group that's helping a lot of people.
And are those locals? The recovery group is just local people. Yeah.
At first, probably the first 6 weeks, we had a lot of people coming from out of town with food, supplies, fuel. That was something you needed, generators, because it was so hot. Mm-hmm. Now we don't have that so much. It is important to keep the story alive, and many people, I hear it every day, think that we're the forgotten area, that Marion has been forgotten because we're not a population center. There hasn't been any big fundraising activities with movie stars or rock stars or anything over there trying to help us out. But our community also is in a low socioeconomic part of the country, and so they need help more than ever. And we do have concerns about people moving away. For some people, they didn't have insurance, or maybe they had, the people were renting and the homeowners decided not to rebuild. And we don't want people to move away. We need to keep moving forward and try to rebuild the city.
It's a remarkable system that in and of itself has all of those sorts of interactivity or interactive variables, right? You mentioned, okay, so if the rental home is gone, where does that renter go? And if the population decreases because people can't find a place to live, well, that impacts the workforce as well as it does local consumption. So now the farmer's not selling what few vegetables he's got left as much, right?
Right. But on the other hand, I think there are opportunities for rebuilding better than ever.
Ah. A community that is markedly agricultural, agrarian, an agrarian economy, and you say, for that matter, lower income households.
Right.
I try to put that in perspective, and I think, what if we woke up tomorrow morning and the state capital was gone? And I mean, if we were no longer the capital of Florida. That's been suggested, by the way, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Right. But think about that. Or Florida State University said, hey, you know what? We're moving. We're gone. And it wouldn't be gradual. You know, imagine the devastation that would occur if you displace the thousands and thousands of people who rely upon just those two institutions for employment. Right? 60% of the population works for government in some capacity, my last recollection of that.
Right.
Well, here you have an economic base that's disappeared. Yeah. Whether it's pine trees or cotton. Right. One family said that they were expecting a bumper crop with the pecans last year. And all of that was taken away.
It takes years and years to grow pecan trees.
So with regard to the influx of people who showed concern, you say, well, in the first few months, yes. You know what that reminds me of? It's when the woman loses her husband and everybody comes to the funeral and they all come to the house and they bring the covered dish. And a couple of days goes by, maybe a few weeks goes by, and then everybody just sort of forgets.
Right.
And she's there by herself every day. So keeping that thought in mind, that sort of scenario, what do we need to do? What can we do as a community? If we are your family member, we're your sister, your brother, your cousin over here in Tallahassee, what do we do to help Mariana?
That's a good question.
You've been asking that for now 12 months or better. I know.
I know.
Well, you wrote a book about it, so that's a good thing. Maybe we should just buy a million copies of the book and you can donate all the proceeds, right?
Well, I am donating the proceeds to the city of Marietta.
Are you?
Yes, for recovery.
Wow.
So, yes, you could buy a bunch of books.
Let's do that. That's a good start anyway.
Yeah.
Will the book be available in local bookstores or online? How do we
Amazon.
Do it?
Amazon.
Okay. Well, let me repeat the title of the book, folks. Heaven's sakes, here we go. Surviving Hurricane Michael, a community story of devastation, survival, and recovery. You have the author with us, Kay Dennis, Municipal Development Director for the City of Mariana. What else can we do? What can we, if we were to organize in some way, fundraisers, or if we mobilize?
That would help us. That would really help us.
Right. Do you have those who advocate on your behalf? They're over here providing that voice. Because I'm wondering if you have folks that go out to the local churches, if they're showing up on a Sunday morning and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm from Mariana. Here's our story.
Oh, I don't think we have that. I think we have people here in Tallahassee that advocate on our behalf. But
But they're doing that where? In you know, city hall or with the legislature?
Yeah, with the legislature.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, that's slow moving, man. I mean, that's the Mississippi River there. I'm just thinking we need a ready force. We need, right, boots on the ground kind of action.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so we've got to figure that out. All right, folks, well, there's your challenge. If you want to help the city of Marianna, if you want to help Kay Dennis, if you want to help all of our recovery and help yourself, let's figure out how we can be a contributive part of this remarkable story that is chronicled in this book, Surviving Hurricane Michael, A Community Story of Devastation, Survival, and Recovery by Kay Dennis, our guest this morning. Kay, please stay in touch with us.
I will.
We'll continue this conversation.
Thank you, Brian.
Yes, ma'am.
Folks, that's what we have for you.
We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio right here in Tallahassee. Moose Magnificat, the sound of Tallahassee. You'll find us at moosemagnificat.com, playing all local musicians, their original songs, all the time. That is Moose Magnificat. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just Tasty Pastry Good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? Yeah, you want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.
Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.